Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 86 of Cephalon Squared. My name is Cephalon Greg, I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How art thou this day?
This day thou is good. How art thou?
Me be's good also. Kinda.
I also do the good thing.
Indeed. Also being good is what I am. But transition into Weathercast or whatever it's called. What do we call it?
Weather Rambles.
Weather Rambles.
All right, well, here in this city of Ipswich, it is currently 26 degrees Celsius with a 55% humidity. It's keeping nice and cool. I'm loving it. We are actually recording midday, so that's really nice for a midday temps.
Yeah, it's perfect, really. 79 degrees Fahrenheit, for those that are wondering. Yeah, that's absolutely perfect. It's not a bad day down here in Melbourne. It's 22 degrees, 72 degrees Fahrenheit, and 58% humidity, so it's similar. Yeah, also pretty comfortable. Went for a bit of a hike today. Went and looked at a waterfall.
Nice.
Went, yep, that's a waterfall, and then turned around and went, nah, it was very nice. We enjoyed it. The kids
did,
had fun.
Did you help that water back up?
Yeah, I tried. But it was relentless.
The things we do.
Yeah. Speaking of the things we do, how's that for a segue? What'd you get up to in Warframe and video games this week?
All right, well, I actually haven't gotten up to a lot in video games this week. I've had something else I've been working on, but more about that later. What I have been doing in Warframe and video games is, well, leveling. I mean, we just got hit with the new PC update with all the changes. So Warframe 2 is out on PC, and it's nice. It's balanced. It's I'd say it is actually so far a lot more enjoyable than I would have initially given it credit for. The damage gating's quite nice. I like that. And there's definitely a lot more use from mixing up your different builds and your different elemental damages and whatnot, so it's quite comfortable. But yeah, just been doing a little bit of that. And with that, we also received the 2x Affinity Weekend. So yay, all the glory to that. Yeah, that's been Warframe. Apart from that, I decided late last night before going to bed to actually play the Final Fantasy VII remake demo, and holy damn fantastic, it's going in a good direction. I like it.
It's very good. I also played that this week, so you finally got around to it. Yeah, it is very fun. Very fun. I second your Warframe 2 comments because it's interesting. Like, certain weapons, I was using my Fullman last night, I used Wisp, I used Necros, and there was clearly a difference in weapon damage and how things worked and how status applied. It was very cool. But, and I say this as a not very high level player on PC with not very well-formed equipment, it wasn't a whole lot easier, which is what I was concerned about. I thought it was going to be really easy, and I think it will be easier for players that have everything maxed out. I mean, they might have to change their builds a little bit, but, you know, I think they'll probably do more damage to higher-level Grineer especially, but I nothing felt a lot easier. It felt pretty much the same, but everything applied differently. So I think it's good.
It was the same, but different. The same, but comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So kudos to D. It seems like there haven't been any major stuff ups, and I haven't seen any big complaints anywhere. So things seem to be going all right with Warframe Revised. Good job.
Yes. Well done. And on that note, I think it was Jellybug and Cannibal Kiwi did show off glorious builds for the Kuva Comb, where they actually managed to hit over 300% status chance.
Interesting.
Yes.
Sorry. Interesting.
Fan-frickin-tastic. I think, was it Kiwi managed to get his up to 380% status
nice.
Chance?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very
yeah.
nice.
So that's almost... That's almost 4 guaranteed procs per bullet.
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it is a comb, so it is pellet-based, true. Of course, but it is also... It's a weird shotgun. It's a very weird shotgun, the comb.
It is the way it works. It's it is kind of weird. So that's super cool. I'm jealous of that.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, so apart from that, I did play Division 2 because there was a new DLC update. Haven't played the DLC yet. I'm just trying to grind through to level 30, but enough said about that.
Get ready for the update that's already out.
Exactly, just try and get ready for the update that's already out. But I like Division 2. I forgot it was actually a good game, so... Anyway, I guess the first piece of the news is something we've already mentioned, so I'll just say it quickly. Warframe Revised, the new mainline update for Warframe, is already out on PC. Yeehaw, it'll be out soon-ish on consoles.
Yay. And next one is pretty much something that's already been said. Double Affinity Weekend on PC to celebrate the mainline update release. And a console Double Affinity Weekend will follow the weekend after the mainline releases on console. So, if you're wondering why console doesn't have the Double Affinity just yet, that's because you guys haven't got the mainline. So, wait for that to come and you'll get your Double Affinity Weekend, and don't let it go to waste.
Much truths.
Yes.
Much truths. Next up, of course, if you have been paying attention, you'll know that it is March, so therefore... The Warframe anniversary is once again upon us. This means a few things, and we thought we'd do a little bit of an update again. So listen to the beginner topic this week or later on in this episode to hear what's happening for the 7th anniversary, and there's some very cool stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And awesome. It's community-created Warframe time again, so there will be a link in the show notes to submit your concept by March 19th. Last time this was done, the results were Nova, and Nova is still a community-wide favorite, so hopefully we can get another community-wide favorite created from this.
Indeed, and I still really like that Furion concept that's been going around and around and around because it reminds me very much of the alien that I want in the game.
Yeah.
So bring that beast.
So, DE, I'm pretty sure you've already seen what everyone's wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Furion frame, come on. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I think it's decided.
Decided?
Decided, yeah. Well, I mean... If everyone's going to keep sharing it around and keep pushing, hey, look, this looks awesome, may as well be decided.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So I do know there is a person who may not want to be mentioned by name. I don't know. But there is one person in our Discord who reached out to me saying that they had a Warframe concept. So you know who you are. Get on it because you have until March 19th.
Yes, do it. Do it and submitted. Possibly blow the idea of Furion out of the water.
Yeah, because you said you sent me a direct message on Discord, and you said you wanted myself and Lucas. Hey, Lucas, I'm telling you now to proofread it to give you some feedback. We're happy to do that for you, or at least I am. Lucas probably is. See, there you go.
I love ideas. Give me concepts to read.
Love to help you, but you got to get it submitted before March 19th.
Actually, that would be a cool little segment if we did occasionally on the show. Fan-made Warframe concepts.
Yeah, feel free to send them
in. Yeah, do that. All right, people, new segment. Fan-made Cephalon Squared Warframe readouts. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Make us proud. Give us some work.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, the next one. Did you enter Mothop's Mot Challenge? Over the last couple of weeks, this was advertised on Facebook and Discord, so if you don't use either of those, you probably didn't. Stick around until the community call-out section of this episode to hear if you are one of the winners.
Yay! Next up, the C2 Clan Emblem is now available on all platforms if you're in the clan, so get on out there, grab it. Otherwise, hopefully you won't have to wait too long for a glyph. Wink.
Wink. Sorry, I was late on that one. Yes, and next up, both Lucas and I have some personal things we've been working on, so we thought we'd plug ourselves for a bit. I've been talking about a secret project that I've been working on for the last couple of months. It was finally released upon the world, I guess, earlier this week. It's a new podcast called Chaos to the Fly. It may or may not be searchable. As yet, it is available on iTunes. It is available on Spotify. So you should be able to find it soon enough. It's called Chaos to the Fly. I only uploaded a preview. It will be a seasonal thing. I'm going to release 15 episodes in season one, and that will start in April. And it's all about ghost stories, talking about demons and folklore, stuff like that, as well as doing some horror reviews at the end of each episode. So that is a bit of fun. I really like horror. I'm a writer, so I'm writing a book. Wink, wink. And, yeah, I just figured the research that I do for my book may as well go somewhere, and I'm researching a lot of horror at the moment, so I'm putting it into that podcast, which again is called Chaos to the Fly. Would love it if you could have a listen, give me some feedback, or even subscribe if that's what you feel up to, if you think it's worth it. So that's my plug, Chaos to the Fly.
Excellent, excellent. So I will be sure to listen to that because interesting things are interesting.
Indeed they are.
All right, my plug. So, we all know Greg is writing a book, but I thought to myself, I want to write a book. So I'm writing a book. The title has been decided. I've written about a chapter so far, and I will be continuing to do this over the next couple of months. Hopefully it will become a thing properly, and I may even set up a Patreon page so people can look at the chapters as they are released to help fund the release, much like how Greg has gone about it. Yes, this is a story that I've been devising through my mind over the past year or so, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun enjoying it. The book will be titled Purity in Shadow, so look forward to more information about that.
And it sounds very interesting from what Lucas has told me, so keep an eye out for it. It sounds fun.
Yay!
I'm sure we'll keep you up to date as time goes along anyway.
Sure, definitely. Definitely. All right.
End plugs, on to discussion.
Discussion.
So, this week we have a listener discussion again. And this time it is again from Mothop. Like I said, he and Rathok just seem to have the best questions. Come on, guys and gals. Anyway, Mothop has a question, and this is why I had a little laugh when you referred to Warframe 2 earlier, Lucas, because Mothop's question is, with the number of Warframes and weapons in the game, and the game itself coming up to almost a decade old in a couple of years, if it were to happen, would you transition to Warframe 2? So, from a story perspective, how do you think it might transition? A progression perspective, how do you think it might transition? And let's not forget plat. And number three, he said, let's say all frames are wiped from existence and 5 new starter frames and 6 new starter weapons are what you get for Warframe 2. What frames and weapons from the current lineup would make it across? And the last question is, working on the Sid Meier way of making sequels, thirds, trilogies, what would you keep, what would you fix, and what new thing would you introduce? So it's a whole bunch of questions, but it's basically saying, if they were to make Warframe 2, what the hell would you do? Ah, he has explained what the hell the Sid Meier way of making sequels is. The thought behind his way of sequels is to keep a third of the game that people like the same, got it, fix or extend on elements of the games that can be, and the third part is bring in new elements of the game that aren't yet in place that would make it a sequel and not an extension. So work in thirds.
Hmm.
What do you think Warframe 2 should, could, might look like? Do you think they would even go to the... would they do that?
Okay, personally, straight off the bat, no. I don't think they would ever do that because of the amount of resources and time that has gone into this 7-year project as it is. I feel like basically, you know, scrapping everything and starting from scratch would do more harm than good at this stage.
But that, I guess that's the point, though. He's not saying scrapping everything and start from scratch. Keep a certain amount and move on. Fix a certain
even
amount.
Even still, keeping a certain amount and starting, you know, from a third up, it's still, like, okay, it's putting down, you're keeping the foundation, but you're removing the buildings. It's still basically...
What if you're putting better buildings in?
Yeah, I don't think they'd do it.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just trying to...
play devil's advocate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no,
Push down a different path. I don't think they would make a Warframe 2 either, but eventually they're going to have to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, World of Warcraft has survived, what is it now, 15 years?
I don't even know.
But Warframe's not World of Warcraft.
No.
I don't think Warframe has... It might have another 7 years left in it, but I don't think it does.
They'd have to actually do something extravagant for it to survive another 7 years. So I would say let us go to the Tau system. That might give us like another 5 years.
Realistically, do you think Warframe Revised is Warframe 2? Because that's what you referred to it as before. I don't.
Okay. If I'm being serious about it, it's probably more like Warframe 1.5.
I think it's more like 1.2.
Yeah, I think we've already kind of had 1.2 with the Railjack and the open worlds. 1.2's been and gone. We're in the next part. This is Warframe 1.5.
1.3 then. I don't think everything that they've done recently is big enough to make it a 1.5.
Yeah.
Maybe with the expansions that come over the next few months with the Corpus, Railjack, and what do you call it? Squad Link?
Yep.
And tying some of the aspects together, I think that'll bring it to a 1.5.
Actually, you know what this is? You know what this is? This is actually Warframe Forsaken.
Yeah. Warframe Forsaken or bloody House of Wolves.
Yep.
Or Taken it, King.
It's a rebalance. Taken King. It's a rebalance that has fixed a number of issues that have been in the game for a long period of time, and it, you know, it's balanced it out. It's made it more malleable, more playable in a wider variety of ways. They effectively killed the meta. And yeah. it remains to be that way at the moment until someone comes along and goes, ha, I've made a new meta. But for the time being, they've killed the meta. And you know, that's pretty much exactly what Destiny did when they turned around and went, hey, look, Forsaken. They broke the meta. They took everything that was bad about their game and they made it good.
Mm.
Now, obviously, DE hasn't fixed everything. There are a lot of issues in Warframe.
No. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Forsaken was a lot more of a drastic change, though. But yeah.
But
that's what you're saying.
It's definitely a step in the right direction. A lot of the things that they fix are foundation things, are things that are part of the core of the game. So that's a fantastic start. And of course, with new things coming in the upcoming months, we got two months worth of content coming up with the Scarlet Spear and the other one, the other event next month.
Starts with D.
Yeah, that one, that thing. With the Corpus rework, there you go.
Yes.
I think that will kind of push it more towards a Forsaken fix, maybe? We'll have to wait and see.
Depends, though, because, I mean, are they just going to be operations that are short-lived, and are they going, or are they going to come with fixes that remain in the game?
We do know the Corpus rework comes with a complete remaster of the ship tile sets.
Yeah, but a ship tile set's just a new coat of paint.
Yes. Hmm.
I think to make it to have a major improvement or to take the game from 1.whatever to 1.5 or to 2.0, there needs to be a far more drastic change. It needs to change. Certain aspects of the game have to stay the same. The Space Ninja aspect is what makes Warframe Warframe, but I think they'd have to change certain mechanics for it to be updated in that way. Because at the moment, what they're adding a lot of the time is just new disparate sections to the game, yeah. Which isn't a problem. Railjack is pretty good for what it is, but after however long... How long has it been out now? 6 months?
Five months? No.
Months?
It came out December. We're in March now, so 3, maybe 4 months.
So even less than what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's lost its sheen for me.
Yes.
I definitely don't enjoy it as much as
a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's because it's just... It's not Warframe, and it's not tied into the rest of the game. If it was tied into the rest of the game, which I think is what we were expecting, we'd probably enjoy it more because it would be the game.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be part of this mission. This is also
putting into account that it's not finished yet. Like, Railjack is still in its early stages. Mm-hmm. We are about to get the Squad Link in the next event, the Scarlet Spear, and that's gonna you know, push the boundaries of Railjack a little bit and show us
for one operation,
but it's gonna show us what the possibilities are for this system. And then, you know, we've still got to expect the command system, so bring in your liches as crew members. And then, even then, there's still the whole corpus side of things that DE's talking about. You know, there's a lot still to come for Railjack.
There is.
That's exactly the point.
That's why I'm saying we're not at 1.5 yet, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it hasn't. And how long is it going to take? That's another issue. We're still waiting on
this year.
I hope so. It damn well better be.
well, I think, okay, at this stage, I think it's safe to say Railjack is basically paramount in the idea of the new war. And yes. There was that the magazine interview last year, at the end of last year, where DE did state that 2020 was going to be the year of the new war, and it was going to be a mission quest sort of story thing that transpired over the entirety of the year. Now, yes. We're only getting the first part of it realistically this month, possibly within the next couple of weeks.
3 months in.
Yeah, three months in. So that still leaves us with, 9 months of other things. So yeah, I think this will be the year that Railjack really shines.
I hope so. I mean, you're being, I think, maybe overly positive. But at the same time, it's not easy to do everything that they're doing, especially with a game that has code that's 7 years old.
Yeah.
What they've built already has, you know, tendrils that go in a million different directions and tie into a million different pieces of code. So pulling that apart and putting something else into it, I'm sure, is not an easy task, which is why it's taking longer. And, you know, we do need to be patient about that and watch as the game changes, I guess.
Evolves. In front of us. Yeah, at this stage, I think it's easy to say that the game is a living, breathing creature with all of its intrinsic little bits and bobs sprinkled throughout it. It's just, it's alive. It's a breathing thing. It's growing. Every time they drop something new in it, it just gets bigger.
So, returning to Muff Hub's question, and I know we're not going to talk about Warframe 2 because we don't think there's going to be one.
Nah.
Let's twist the question a little bit.
Okay.
Especially that fourth part of the question where he said, working on thirds. What would you keep? What would you fix? And what new thing would you introduce? What do you think has to go from the current Warframe to make it better?
I think loading screens.
Yes. Yes.
I think loading screens. I think the boundary between missions needs to be evaporated. So remove the loading screens and make everything flow a lot easier. You know, so instead of going over and going, oh, I'm selecting this mission, load in. How about more of a, okay, I'm going to chart a course to this mission location, and then I'm going to travel there. That would be a lot better, in my opinion. And I think that's one thing Steve would love to do. Of course, it's going to take a lot of work, but it's something that I think would work awesomely. Members of DE think would work awesomely. And that's a great first step.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What about you?
That definitely is something that needs to go. I have said it before, but resources need to be cleaned up.
Yes.
Resources yes. Absolutely need to be cleaned up. If they're cleaned up, it would be a better game. If it wasn't so confusing, even for older players to try and think, all right, what the fuck am I leveling now? And where do I have to go to get that bloody item in order to level it? You know, if you're chasing MR, not only do you have to think about all the different weapons that are in the game, but you also have to think about all the kick guns that are in the game, all the mowers that are in the game. You know, and you have to remember the fact that it's just a certain piece of them that you get mastery rank for.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's not exactly what I'm talking about, because that's about mastery and not so much about the resources, but the idea is the same.
Yeah.
You can only get certain gems from Plains of Eidolon, and yep. You can only refine them into this freaking super kick-ass stones if you've got the blueprint and you've got some other things, and it just all becomes a headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand why it's there, I understand why it's in place, but I think it's going to change.
Yeah. So, now looking at the third part of his question, let's say all frames are wiped from existence, 5 new starter frames and 6 new starter weapons. I want to change that up a little bit, okay? Because mm-hmm. there's something I kind of just thought off the top of my head, and it's weird, it's wonderful in my opinion, and I kind of want to lay this down. So, let's say that a system wipe does occur, right? The Tenno are defeated. Let's say it's not the new war that fucking that the Tenno will fall to. It's something else. It's what comes after. Something bigger and badder comes along, and it wipes out all the warframes. Tenno are basically put back into the second dream, and we have like a kind of reset. Now, as far as the frames go, sure, let's say you have your 5 new starter frames, you pick one, that's your starter frame, yay. But what if we were to give the game a bit of a No Man's Sky flair? So you find your landing craft, and you've got to repair your landing craft, and the resources become something that's
you actually needed. Manually farm yeah, from the environment.
Actually manually need to farm for, and you actually need to spend to get things working.
Now that would be a different game.
It would be a different game. Throwing in with the Space Ninja concept, because you still have your warframe. And you know, you still have access to the entire star chart, like the whole star chart's there still, but now your resources are a little bit limited, so you used to be able to go straight to Pluto. Maybe you don't have enough fuel to get there, and you kind of have to make a couple stops along the way.
That is an interesting suggestion, and if it was to go down that path, and say you repair your ship and you repair your armory, and it just happens to have 2 primaries, 2 pistols, and 2 melee, but you can only choose one, which primaries, pistols, and melee would you want to be in there? Personally, I think they should be really different. So you could have a definitely. Standard weapon like an auto rifle, a Soma, for example, and a Scourge.
I think with the defeat of the Tenno on the Warframe, Tenno-based weaponry is really rare to come across. So your starting choices of weapons are Grineer Tech and Corpus Tech.
Only.
Only.
That's what you find.
Yep, that's what you've got to choose to start with. You've got to choose between Grineer Tech or Corpus Tech weaponry.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So this would be a very different game.
Definitely.
Yeah. But that would be cool because you would actually have to find the weapons in the environment as you go.
Yeah.
So first you get to start off with some crappy weapon that your ship gives you because it was the last memory of a weapon that it had before it got wiped or whatever. Whatever the story may be.
Or does it still glitchy as all fuck?
Even glitchier. He's just like Poe from Altered Carbon. I just watched season 2. It's really good.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a very different game, and that is really starting to get into what my Bob's question actually is, but it's also starting to get into Pipe Dream
Charter. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's me. What do you expect?
You are, you know, Lucas Pipe Dream Silvestri, after all.
Sure, yeah.
It's your middle name. I know it is. I've seen your birth certificate. I guess the story is we don't think there's going to be a Warframe 2, but if there was, be fucking sick if it was really different.
Yeah.
The part of the game that stays is still the ninja, third person, shooty stuff. But the new stuff that comes in is manual farming of resources, manually looking for and finding the weapons out in the world, or even manually just finding the friggin' blueprints and still having to build them with the resources that you come across, you know, repairing your ship by actually coming across resources and finding them. That would be a new Warframe. It would still be the same Warframe in the end, potentially, same kind of thing, but the processes that you could put in place would be freaking sick.
Yep. And goodbye loading screens.
And goodbye loading screens. That's number one most important thing. But hopefully, you know, they can figure out a way to say goodbye to loading screens in the existing Warframe that we've got anyway.
Yeah.
I think really the existing Warframe that we've got, returning to the there probably won't be a Warframe 2 scenario, the existing Warframe we've got, in order for it to survive another 7 years, I think it needs to go through a very significant change, not just in what's added to the game, but in what's already existing in the game. They need to be all tied in together because everything is still too disparate and separate from each other. They're all silos in a way.
Yeah.
And they need to be unsiloed, and the loading screens get in the way as well.
Yeah. So the core needs to be repaired a bit more, and the additions need to fix that core.
Exactly. Because if I mean, at the moment, as it stands, the core Warframe still exists to a certain degree within Railjack.
Yep.
So you know, especially when you're doing the kill the commander mission, you go fly onto the ship, you run through the ship, you kill the commander, you go back to your Railjack. Now, I know that part of the plans that they have for the larger ships that hopefully will come into the game soon is that you have to fly around them and look for a weak point, and then you have to enter that weak point, and then you get to complete a mission on the ship, and it'll be much more like a raid, and that'll be friggin' awesome. And that will start to tie Warframe together. But the problem will still remain that there's plenty of mission nodes all over the star chart that have nothing to do with Railjack. And tying Railjack into moving around between nodes would be a bloody awesome idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on this discussion?
Okay, so my awesome idea that I had before about basically making Warframe into No Man's Sky.
But better?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do that with the Tau system.
You and your Tau system.
I want to go to the Tau system.
He wants to go to the Tau system, dude. Just please make him happy.
Tau system.
It'll make me happy too.
Cool. All right. So thank you, Mothup, for a very interesting discussion. We didn't exactly go down the path that you were leading with the question, But I think we went into a pretty interesting place anyway, and we did end up talking about a newer, better Warframe 2 anyway, so cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Good job.
All right. Moving into our beginner and advanced topics. And as mentioned at the start of the episode, today I'm going to talk about Warframe Anniversary. So this happens every year, obviously. It's an anniversary. In March every year, to celebrate the release of the game, 7 damn years ago, 2013. I think that's when it was first released into open beta on PC. So before that, there was a closed beta period, but it went open beta in March 2013. Correct me if I'm wrong. I probably am, because it's just off the top of my head, and old age, brain fails me. So every year, it simply used to be that for the entire month of March, you had 4 alerts that went for 25 days or whatever they were, and you could do them whenever the hell you wanted, and you would get a new thing every year added to the other alerts. So, you know, there were 6-7 alerts last year, and we did them all over the course of 4 weeks, and hooray, huzzah! This year, things are going to be a little bit different. You'll still be able to get everything. There'll still be separate alerts for all of those damn things, and it will still last the entire month of March, but the alerts will be staggered. There's so damn many of them now that rather than having, you know, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight. Rather than having 8 alerts when you first log in, there's 2 every weekend that you can get. And of course, part of this is to get people to log in more regularly again. Sneaky, sneaky. But it's not a bad idea. Anyway, weekend 1, which is this weekend, just started. You can get the Dex Nuchali Sayandana and the Dex Furus, which is, of course, a secondary weapon. And therefore, you, of course, get a secondary weapon slot. Dex Furus is a good weapon. Solid for beginner to mid-level players, and now with the status updates, probably even better. So definitely go out and get the Dex Furus. Weekend 2, which is next weekend, you can get the Excalibur Dex skin, which is actually a really, really good Excalibur skin. You can also get the Dex Dacra, which is twin swords. And of course, you guessed it, a melee weapon slot. Uh-huh. For the Dex Dacra. Dex Dacra's pretty good swords. Not amazing, but again, pretty good for the...
The changes that came made them pretty damn good.
Oh, they did? Okay.
So oh, yeah.
I've forgotten what Dex Dacra is. It's a status weapon, is it, or...?
Yeah. Status steel swords.
Yeah, so there you go. They'll be even better. And they were already pretty good anyway, so now they'll be even better. Weekend 3, which is the weekend after that, of course. The Excalibur Dex Noggle, and don't we all love a Noggle to put on our shelves? The Dex Sybaris. And what's this? A primary weapon slot? Of course. So the Dex Sybaris is a really good Sybaris weapon. It's much better than the base Sybaris. It's not as good as Sybaris Prime, but it's pretty damn good, to be honest. Go get it. It will be really... It's particularly if you're under Mastery Rank 10... Dex Sybaris is good for you. Not to eat. Don't eat it.
No.
And last weekend of March, weekend 4, we'll have the Lissette Dex skin. So you can put a skin on your Lissette, which is great if that's all you've got and it's free. So yay. And new this year is also an Excalibur Dex glyph, if that's your thing. But, of course, that's not all. You also get a set of steak knives. Oh, wait, no, you don't. This year, you'll also get the new Dex Raksaka. Raksaka, mate! The Dex Raksaka armor set simply by logging in, and it's a pretty cool armor set, to be honest. It's got some cool little shoulder tendril thingies. Go get it. It's nice. There's also a gorgeous 7-year anniversary collection that's available in the official Warframe merchandise store. This includes a t-shirt, a poster, and a pin, all of which are adorned with some pretty fabulous Japanese brushstroke artwork of Excalibur. It looks really bloody good. I think it's Excalibur Dex skin as well. These can be purchased separately or in a bundle, if that's your thing. Again, if you want a pin and a poster, go for it. And lastly, if you want to, you can share your favorite Warframe memory on Twitter using hashtag WarframeIs7. The number 7, not the word. So, all one word, Warframe is 7. And you might be lucky enough to have the Play Warframe Twitter account share your memory. Aww.
Yay.
And I assume that this is what it's going to be for subsequent years.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. And that Rexxarka armor, oh, looks fabulous. Mm. So, fashion frame away, good people.
Yeah, free armor set. Don't say no to that.
Can't say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
They literally hand it to you the second you log in. So, yeah, you can't deny it. You have it now. There you go.
Make sure you log in.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the update for 2020.
Woo!
Lucas, advanced topic. All right.
Advanced topic. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I touched on a little bit of this particular set with my weird, awesome build that I educated people with. So, today, we are looking at the Proton set. So, let's jump on in. Who likes damage reduction? I certainly do. And today's advanced topic covers another means for damage reduction. In fact, it also covers another three-piece mod set. Yes, folks, today we are looking at the Proton set. So expect this to be short and sweet. Now, where do we usually start with these set mods? That's right, the set bonus. And the set bonus for the Proton mods is a 50% damage reduction whilst wall-latched. But Lucas, I don't like wall latching. And that's fine, don't use this set then. But you will be missing out on a fresh set of perks that can really shake up gameplay. All mods from this set are dropped from Amalgam enemies upon Jupiter and are also rewarded in the Jupiter Disruption node. So now you know where to get them, and if the bonus was not enough to catch your attention, maybe the individual abilities will. So, starting with Proton Snap, this mod is for melee use, and upon wall latching for 2 seconds, your melee weapon is granted a hefty 100% toxin damage buff and a plus 50% status chance increase for the next 20 seconds. So, more status and more damage, what's not to love about this mod? Next we have Proton Jet for rifles. This mod comes in with another wall latching buff that remains active while you remain on the wall. While wall latching, your primary weapon receives plus 120% increase to both crit chance and status chance. More bonus damage and procs all around. Seriously, what's not to love about that? And finally, the last mod, Proton Pulse, the Warframe mod. Now this mod steps aside from the damage side of the set and links into the parkour side of things. And if you go from a wall latch or even a wall run into a bullet jump, said bullet jump gains a 100% speed increase to really launch you across that room. Excellent for escaping tough situations. And there you have it, a set mod with combined useful bonuses, and they take up barely any room in your build. But I'm biased. Spider Loki!
Spider Loki, Spider Loki, indeed.
Yeah.
You do love your Spider Loki, and I think someone else was going to try it out in the Discord. Did they?
Yes.
Someone.
Yes.
Maybe. You're influencing people, Lucas. Stop
I
it.
I am. No.
Very good. Proton set is pretty cool. Pretty cool. And it just goes to show that there's some other builds you can do in the game. Now that more things are viable as well, get on out there and give some things a try. Go on.
Do it.
Do it. Do it for Australia. If you're not Australian, still do it for Australia. Or your own respective country. Fine.
Nah, do it for Australia.
Do it for Australia. Alrighty, so let us move on into the last half or last sections of the regular episodes. Where are we, Lucas? We're at
Community Call Out.
Beautiful.
That was fabulous.
God, we're good.
Wow. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, you should have goosebumps. I don't know why. Anyway, as mentioned at the start of the episode, Mothop's Mott Survival Challenge has ended. And Mothop has shared the details with me. The PS4 Cephalon Squared Clan reigns. They were unable to be knocked from the leaderboard, and they instead decimate any pretenders to the throne. Of course, this was written by Mothop, who is the clan warlord of the Cephalon Squared clan. So he's very proud. Proud of the team. But you'll see why. Number one, with 150 minutes on PS4, we have the Pinnacle Tree. Yay! Woo! Congratulations. Damn. I should have started from number 5.
Oh, should have. Oh, well.
Number 2, Diablo CBR with 119 minutes on PS4.
Damn. Woo!
Woo! That's a bloody long time. Number 3, Mena Duarte 75 with 90 minutes on PS4.
Yay! Shame. Damn.
Number 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, is F12. And, you know, I'm not going to go through everything. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. F12, 79 minutes on PS4. Yay! And lastly, at number 5, the inimitable Cannibal Kiwi at 50 minutes played on PC. So the only person non-PS4 to get into the top 5 was Cannibal Kiwi, so congratulations. But congratulations to the Pinnacle Tree for coming in at number 1 at 150 minutes. If you would like to join another one of these challenges, we have a challenge channel on the Discord where Mothop generally will post his challenge that he sets up, and he also sets it up for every platform. So it's not just for PS4 people. The leaderboard is actually a text leaderboard that he keeps in the Cephalon Squared clan, and your name, even if you're not in the PS4 clan, or if you don't even play on PS4, your name could be up there on the board. So smash these PS4 guys off their own list, guys and gals. Next attempt, next challenge.
Do it. Knock them down.
Congratulations, and thank you to everyone who tried. And thank you to Mothop for setting that up. Great competition.
Excellent. Yay. Excellent.
All right. Quick little reviews update. We had one new review in the US for iTunes, so that brings us up to 112. It's a very good one. Well, I think we'll read that one out next week because we're only one behind now. So get on out there with reviews so we can read them out on the show.
Peeps. Yay.
You're going to read this one, Lucas?
I shall. Okay. iTunes, US. Dr. Catan. Great place for a starting player to learn. 5 stars. After taking a long time in many MMOs before coming into Warframe, I was beyond confused. When trying it out, stumbled onto this podcast while looking for one about Warframe to help me understand the game a bit and completely enjoying it. Good fun and friendly conversation, along with great tips that I have found very helpful for understanding the game. I'd recommend this show to any interested in the game. I hope they continue with the tips, as there is so much in the game it helps make it less overwhelming for players. Even after a few weeks in, there are still so many moments I'm finding things they mention I didn't realize. Cheers on the positive attitude and enjoyable dynamic of the show.
Awesome review. Thank you, Dr. Katar.
Thank you. Well done.
Very cool. We will be continuing the tips, but it should be said that we're almost been going 2 years. We're at episode 85. We've done 85 beginner's tips and 85.
Wow.
We're at 86 now, aren't we?
Probably not that many.
We've missed
a few. So at least 80. We've done at least 80
advanced.
But that's
a shit ton of tips.
Yeah.
So we're going to probably start repeating them at some stage. Don't get upset when we do. But it's bound to happen one day.
Definitely don't get upset when we start repeating the ones from the first 15 episodes, because we all know the audio quality wasn't great, so now maybe you'll actually be able to understand us.
Couldn't hear them anyway. Plus, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of things we did early in the game that are now not true since the changes have come into play. So
that is also true.
Especially the armor, health, and shield episode that now is
redundant.
Correct. Yeah, it's completely redundant.
So looking back, there's a lot that is redundant now.
Yeah, and in regards to the positive attitude, we do want to have a positive community. We recognize that there are issues with the game, as there are issues with absolutely everything, but we wouldn't make a podcast about a game we didn't love. So we do love the game and we want to be positive, because the people out there who are making the game, they also love the game and they're doing their best.
Yes.
Sometimes they make a decision that turns out to maybe not have been the best decision, but we don't want to crucify them for it. We'll just point it out, hey, maybe this wasn't the best decision, and move along. Now, I was being a little bit negative in our discussion today, but I was doing that deliberately. Keep that in mind.
Yep.
Yes, things need to change with Warframe, but Warframe's still a bloody good game as it is.
Absolutely. And as they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
In Indeed. All right. Where are we at now, Lucas?
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon, yeah.
Dr. Cephalon.
Beautiful. Just gets better every week.
Sure.
All right. This one came in just a couple of days ago, actually, via email from Jim G. And Jim's question is, and yes, it definitely is a Dr. Cephalon question, Jim. You did wonder whether or not it was. Definitely is. Dear Dr. Cephalon, how does weapon affinity work with twins? For example, Wukong, Mirage, Equinox? Question mark. I guess I didn't need to read out the question mark bit, did I?
Yes, you did. You absolutely had to do that.
Thank you. So, I've written the answer down, Lucas, but did you know that off the top of your head?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did indeed.
Okay. Well, answer the question.
Well, the answer is simple. It counts as an ability kill, so 100% of the XP will go to your Warframe.
I did not know that off the top of my head, because I was thinking, because Wukong, as a twin, kills the enemy with the weapon that you're not using, does the affinity go to the weapon? And I got all confused, so I had to look it up, but it has been confirmed that, yes, it does count as an ability kill and not a weapon kill. So it all goes to your frame.
Yep, yep. Nice and simple. That's a simple one.
Yeah, that was a simple one, but it just goes to show that there are plenty of people out there that have these little questions that I didn't even know the answer to off the top of my head. Send it in as a Dr. Cephalon. We would be more than happy to answer. Yes. And, you know, this has only been two days or so since he asked the question, so it's timely. Turn it around quick.
Very, very timely indeed.
All right. Anything else you want to add before we close out the episode? It's a little bit of a shorter one this week.
I'm just seeing if there's any quick podcast questions that we could probably give a quick answer to.
Check it.
I'm sure there's bound to be something. Nah, doesn't look like there's anything initially. Oh, wait, no, here we go. Chronospork.
Chronospork.
I have a podcast question for you guys. What is the one skill that has been removed from a Warframe that you would like to see back? For me, it's a rework of Volban's Vortex. I much preferred being able to spam my 4 and increase the duration versus the way it is now. Still love me a Volban, but miss the Vortex of old. That is a good question. A really good question. I have an answer.
Is it Nyx related?
No.
I see.
It's Limbo related.
Ooh.
Yes.
What is it, pray tell?
So, originally, Limbo's kit was much different, more different than what it is now.
Much more different.
And yes, much more different. So, instead of having Stasis, and Limbo's passive, they were actually completely different. Limbo's passive was that while he's in the void, he gets extra attack speed and I think a little bit of extra attack range with melee weapons. And of course, now they've changed it that if you dodge, you enter the Rift realm like that. Originally, to get into the Rift, you had to cast your second ability that was a duration-based Rift Walker. Now, lore-based, that fits a hell of a lot better with Limbo than what his current setup does. The idea on if you actually pay attention to the Limbo theorem, they mention that the energies of the Rift world can be very unstable and have the potential to explode. So having an ability to infinitely, with no time frame at all, to be able to use the Rift does not fit. And going back to having a duration-based, it will nerf Limbo. It will definitely, definitely nerf Limbo, but it's needed. And I kind of miss the old Limbo instead of the new one.
Do you need a hug?
No.
Okay, I was going to send one. Right.
But yeah, that's an ability I miss.
Fair enough. I guess the only one I can say that I miss is the one that probably most people will say, which is Ember's World on Fire. It used to be amazing. And then it wasn't. And now it's gone. I like what they've replaced Ember with. But you used to be able to just decimate entire maps without having to do anything. That's pretty much the reason why it had to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was real powerful. Now it's not.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. You're looking at an ability that was replaced because it was too powerful, and I'm looking at an ability that was replaced by something that's too powerful.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Yeah.
But yes, that good question, Chronospork.
We like good questions. We also like Chronosporks. And you, Chronospork. All right. Where was I? Who am I? I'm Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. This has been episode 80 fic. 80 fic?
80 fic. It's a fic episode.
This has been episode 86 and will continue to be episode 86 for at least 2 to 3 minutes more. If you'd like to get in contact with us, please head on over to cephalonsquared.com or shoot us an email at cephalonsquared@gmail.com. Say hello. We don't bite. Plus, it's an email. We can't bite anyway. So, what can you get from our website? Cool stuff. There's cool stuff at the website. Plus, you can join our Discord, Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and all the other usual stuff that happens on websites. If you'd like to support us, you can go to cephalonsquared.com/support, where you can see how you can give us a pat on the back, or, you know, the equivalent of buying us a beer in the pub. If you wanted to buy us a beer in the pub, throw us a coffee. On that note... It is time to toss a coffee to your cephalons. Is it not, Lucas?
It is. It is. So let's right, do here that. We
go. Let's do it.
Toss a coffee to your cephalons. Oh, podcast collective. Oh, podcast collective. Oh.
Just beautiful.
Beautiful.
Just beautiful. That one goes out to you, Denathan, as always. And thank you to all of our patrons, starting with Rathok.
And thank you to continue on with Woe is Joe.
Thank you, Jellybean1799, aka Jellybug.
Thank you, Sula.
Thank you, Lord Frieson.
Thank you, Danathan.
Thank you, RedWizard12.
Thank you, KnightRider8503.
Thanks, CoyotePX.
Thank you, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thank you, ImplosiveMKV.
Thank you, Dylan Braun.
And thank you, Solarian.
Indeed, thank you to these people who continue to support us month on month to help get to improve the podcast and make things better for y'all out there listening. And of course, one of the easiest ways to support us is to continue listening, which you are already doing. So thank you so much for that. And of course, subscribing, clicking like, submitting a review on iTunes or wherever, absolutely anywhere that you can share stuff, or even sharing some of our content on Facebook, Twitter, wherever the place, the case might be, so that more people realize that we are a thing that exists. My name is Greg Nierbegin, and I am Mad Capsules all over the shop. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the interwebs. S-I-L-V-R-L-G-H-T. Our community rocks. It's awesome. They're fantastic. You could be awesome and fantastic too. Join the community. It's a good place to be.
Yeah. In truth, the podcast wouldn't be what it is without the community. So thank you to everyone that engages with us everywhere, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, and of course to everyone on Discord. Thank you so much, because you are what makes the collective a collective. So thank you to everyone.
Yay.
All right. And thank you to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro. Send him some love, because he needs some love. And thank you to you for listening. We are Cephalon Squared. We'll be back in another week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.